Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. Tapped into the youngest in charge, Janelle Willingham. Taking it up to 10 o'clock tonight. Coming up in about 25 minutes, the pal Chris Russell going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts. We'll get the thoughts of a real New Yorker. Some folks bring on New York Giant insiders to preview Commanders and Giants. I bring on the most knowledgeable Giants fan I know. That is one Christopher Russo. He joins us coming up at 8:30. You can catch the Chris Russell Show weekdays 1 to 4 on our sister station, the Team 980. Right now, I want to put a couple of rookies under the microscope. But before we do that, let's get to Jay in Ashburn. This was a couple of years ago. Hell, 10 years ago, I guess. I would wonder, is this Jay Gruden in Ashburn? Hello,
no,
Jay.
No. No, it's not Jay Gruden. No, I'm employed. But anyway.
Hey, that's what I want to hear. Let's
coming
go.
In with a zinger.
There we go. What do you got for us, Jay? That's how you get the party started.
So, I mean, I'm listening to you talking about the Giants chomping at the bit, and I got to tell you, I am scared for this weekend.
Uh-oh.
You know, the Giants' big weakness on defense is the run game, and we just traded away our starting running back. I mean, Austin Eckler is good, but he's a third down back kind of guy now, and I mean, the pass rush that the Giants have, I think it's going to be a sloppy, low-scoring game. And this is also the first time this year or this season that we've seen Terry McLaurin wear pads. So in the history of people who hold in or hold out,
totally
injury
agree.
History is not very kind. So I tell you, I am extraordinarily scared for this weekend. I'm bracing myself.
Hey, look, I totally agree with you, brother. And look, to say that you're scared, I don't think you're scared. I just think we all are dealing with the reality of, hey, this team has expectations. And like I've been saying all show, if you've been listening, man, they have treated the month of September like it's August. When you do that, you got to be able to deal with the consequences of that, good and bad. I appreciate the call as always, Jay, man.
But
go ahead.
Three, four years ago, I didn't care who I played in the first week because I expected us to stink.
Yeah.
But now, you know, that I don't want my thoughts of, you know, NFC Championship game and improvement in the season
mm-hmm.
to be dashed in the first week
but
playing
the
team that everybody thinks is going to have five wins.
Jay, go back on the Odyssey app. You listen to the opening salvo, brother. Week one doesn't matter, brother. Week two doesn't matter. This team, I mean, they showed you how they feel about the month of September. And by the way, Jay, you know this. You're a football fan. They're not the only team in the National Football League that is basically bypassing the preseason and treating it like, you know, some back-of-the-roster evaluation tool. And to me, when you treat – I keep saying it. Put on a T-shirt, Jay. When you treat September like August, you got to be willing to deal with the consequences. They got to come out of the month of September with a 2-2 record or better. If not –
yeah.
Then you may be in a world of hurt because there is no Titans this year on your schedule. There is no Panthers.
Yeah.
There are no Browns, so on and so forth. So it's going to be interesting to see how it ultimately works itself out. Jay, I appreciate you as always. You're one-liner, brother. That's how you got 3 minutes on the phone with the youngest in charge, Jay. Appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. Same handle on every social media platform. It is at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. What we're talking about right now is this, if you want to chime in. Which side of the football is more likely to hit the ground running on Sunday? Is it this Washington Commanders offense, or is it this Washington Commanders defense? Let's go to Dez out in Marlow. Wants to chime in. What's up, Dez?
What's up, man? Hey, look. Last caller. Just off, man. He's talking about he's scared. He got to get that scary stuff out of here.
Get it out of here. Hey, look, tell him, Dad. Tell him, Dad, if you're scared, go to church,
Jay.
We got to
get out of here because we ain't that team no more. And that's what I be trying to tell people. Y'all got to start relating us to them older teams. But main thing I want to say, look,
that
offense going to be going crazy, man. I expect the defense to be shutting stuff down, you know what I'm saying, because people don't really realize the the upgrades that we made, they still be thinking that we got Emmanuel Forbes and BSJ over there playing cornerback. Nah, that's not the case. You know what I'm saying? But when it comes to the offense, I've been coining it since last year. Linnell, you can take it because I love you, man. You can take it if you want to.
Give it to me.
Dan Orlovsky kind of alluded to it a little bit, but he didn't really say it. I call our offense all huddle. No huddle, all hustle.
Okay.
No huddle, all hustle offense, man. And like Dan Orlovsky was saying, he said it a couple weeks ago on First Take. We got the opportunity to not have one of the best offenses in the league, but to have a brand new offense that the league has possibly really never seen before. Mm. Because the way that we stack our offense and the way that we have our team, at any given time, we can have six people that can run the ball and 10 people that could possibly catch it. When it comes to having a 2-3, you know what I'm saying, tight end set, four wide receivers, you know what I'm saying?
They can do it all. Hey, Dez, this is what I called it last year, brother. Exotic smash mouth football. Everybody know about a little bit of Za.
Yeah, I heard
Dez, I'm calling it exotic smash mouth football,
right,
brother.
There,
come on, brother.
That movie about to be going crazy. I ain't worried about nothing against
So look, Dez, Friday on the Burgundy and Gold Today, 4-7 every day on the Team 980. I've been giving out Burgundy and Bold predictions for the season. This past Friday, I said the Washington offense is going to win the Triple Crown, lead the league in points per game, lead the league in yards per game, and then lead the league in time of possession. I think Dan Orlovsky, as well as you, my brother, right on point when it comes to just how explosive this offense can be. Dez, I appreciate you. As always, my brother.
Time of possession, we're going to blow that away.
Come on, man. You saw it last year. What was it? 16, 17 play drives, man. That's how you get her done. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. I want to put a couple of rookies under the microscope here for the Washington Commanders. But before we do that, remember how I was talking about Washington is now the hunted. And I know Dan Quinn's going to lose his wig over that. But the reality is people are now getting up to play the Washington Commanders. And it was not like that, has not been like that throughout the course of my lifetime. People used to look at Washington, you know, let's start preparing for next week's game. Right? Looking at Washington as a bye week. Not anymore. But that narrative has changed so much that I think you're going to get everyone's best shot each and every week, including this Sunday against the New York Giants. Here is Giants defensive back Drew Phillips talking earlier this afternoon about what he is expecting to see Sunday against Washington.
Is it an attention grabber, Drew, when you start the season with the team that was in the NFC Championship game last year? Obviously, the NFL could have given you anybody week one, but in terms of, like, you'll know exactly where you measure up right after game one, is that a attention grabber for you guys? Like, you know, you're playing one of the best from the start?
I mean, yeah, we wouldn't want it any other way, especially after the year they had last year, and then we coming in with a new team as well, so... You know, you're going to find out real fast, but, you know, we're excited. We wouldn't want any other competition, especially a division rival.
Straight up. They itching for it. Geeking to play Washington. But look, like, as fans, look, I say it all the time, right? I'm just as big of a fan as you guys are. Like, don't ever misconstrue that. I'm just like y'all. Jay hit it on the head, and then me and Dez kind of got on him. Talking about if you're scared, go to church. I feel you, though, Jay. And Dez, you feel him, too. We're just not used to this. And Dez hit it right on the head. This is different, y'all. This is not your Commanders of the past. This is not your Commanders of the 2010s and the early 2020s. This is a different group. There are realistic expectations. I remember a segment on First Take after Washington, you know, limped their way into the NFC East title in 2020. And then they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick. They brought in Curtis Samuel, and Dan Orlovsky got on national TV. Mike Greenberg got on national TV and was talking about, well, can the Commanders go to the conference championship? Psh, I rolled the hell out of my eyes. It frustrated me. Now when folks talk about us going places, conference championship, Super Bowl, so on and so forth, I could actually get behind it. I know they're not just capping. This is real. There's momentum behind this thing. And they earned that. But as I said earlier in the show, what they did last year, and this isn't to be a smartass, this isn't to try to be funny, what they did last year doesn't matter. And what I love about this group is they know that it doesn't matter. they get it. And I keep harping on it, man. Say what you want about them being the oldest team in the NFL. Care less, right? When you get older, you get more experienced. You know what I'm saying? Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, Von Miller, Laremy Tunsil, Marshawn Lattimore. Guys that have been at the top of their game in this sport, all in one building, showing the youngest how to prepare, showing the youngest how to get to it. My favorite story from last year in terms of that example of just how impactful veteran leadership could be, I think it was after the Cardinals game. They come home. It's like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning when they get to Dulles. And Bobby and Jaden go to the facility, hop in the tub. So, watching tape, breaking it down already. That's what an OG is going to do. That's gold jacket habits. That's gold jacket mentality. And the fact that they got a bunch of those dudes walking around, that's how you build a culture, baby. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Clearly, I'm ready for Sunday at 1 o'clock. Speaking of Sunday, want to take the chance to let you all know what we'll have for you coming up on Sunday. Countdown to kickoff with Earl Forsey gets underway at 9 a.m. Myself and Denton Day riding with you 11 to 1 p.m. As we get you geared up for kickoff. Then during halftime, we're live on YouTube, X, Twitch, as well as TikTok, giving you our analysis of halftime. And then immediately following the final whistle, right at the final whistle, we're live for some post-game reaction as well, live on YouTube, X, Twitch. You get to see our handsome faces each and every game day here on 106.7 The Fan. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll chew on what we were supposed to touch on this segment. Which Commanders rookie do you have more confidence in week one? Trey Amos or Josh Connolly? We'll get to that next. one 800 636 1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL_BTP. You're tapped in the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham. I'll take you up to 10 o'clock tonight here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It is a game week for the Washington Commanders. They were back out on the practice field this afternoon for the first time this week. Gave you an injury report to start the show. Zach Ertz, DNP for veteran rest reasons. And like I said earlier, I don't care if he doesn't practice on Wednesday for the entirety of the season. Doesn't matter to me. Definitely trust their process in terms of getting guys ready. And I think with Zach Ertz, he showed you last year that process damn sure worked. But, yeah, love what they're doing for the veterans. In terms of DMPs, he was the only one. Limited was Dorrance Armstrong with a knee. Also limited was Jonathan Jones with a hamstring. And that was it. That was it, man. Like, these, Dorrance Armstrong had a knee as well. So, not too worried about that. We'll see tomorrow if those guys continue to be on the injury report. Kind of expected Noah Brown to be there because they really hadn't practiced at all throughout training camp. Like, bottom line. The Dorrance Armstrong knee is kind of new. Don't remember him missing any time during camp. But it could just be preventative maintenance and something else where they're just trying to ease a guy along and make sure he's good to go, ready to go 110% coming up on Sunday. But I just feel like, and this is cool for me, too. I'll be selfish here for a second. This is cool for me, too, because, like, it just feels different. It just feels different. And you all know what I mean by that. Even talking about the team, I'm walking around, and this is how you know it's fall. One, is getting cool. It was cold as hell this morning when I went outside. But you're seeing the gear. You're seeing, as Danny Rie calls them, the taco holders all over people's T-shirts and things of that nature. I'm seeing old Redskins gear, right? I'm seeing Washington football team jerseys. You're seeing it all, man. There is a civic pride, I guess, that this community has right now. Talk about the DMV region and then points beyond the DMV as well. People are behind this team in a way that I've never seen before. And I'm just happy to be able to talk about it, happy to be able to be a part of it. But when we talk about the X's and O's of this thing, Sunday is for real. Live bullets flying for real. Go time, right? Crap or get off of the pot. Put up or shut up. However you want to call it. There are two rookies that I'm going to have under the microscope on Sunday, and they've got two really tall tasks if we're being honest about what their debut is going to encounter here, what they're going to encounter here in their debut. Which Commanders rookie are you more confident in heading into the season opener? Their first-round pick, Josh Connerly Jr., the offensive tackle out of Oregon. Their second-round pick, Trey Amos, their corner out of Ole Miss. For me, I think both of these guys, by the way, are going to ultimately be impact guys for Washington by season's end. But think about it like this, man, if we're just being open, honest, and objective here. If you are Josh Connerly, first of all, you've been getting prepped all offseason long going up against Von Miller, Dorrance Armstrong, Oos, the whole cast of characters. Your first career game is going to be against Abdul Carter, Kayvon Thibodeau, right? Brian Burns. It ain't an easy hill to climb, is how I would expect, is how I would describe it, rather. Right? For Trey Amos, right? You go from going up against Chris Moore in practice to going up against Malik Nabers coming up in week one. So, like, both of those two dudes, they're not getting eased into the National Football League. Not at all. They're not getting eased into the NFL at all. But I'll say this. I think both of those cats have the mental makeup to be elite guys in this league. And I know I've caught in a lot of shrapnel online because 4 days into camp, it was the fourth day of camp, and I said, well, yeah, Josh Connerly's been a little underwhelming. If you look throughout the entirety of camp, he, to me, is the most improved Commander from day one to now. On the flip side for Trey Amos, in the spring, brothers. I ain't gonna lie, brothers and sisters. In the spring, you realize that, okay, Washington might have a dude. And the way he participated and played in the joint practice in the preseason game against New England was like, okay, checking another box. I was kind of disappointed that he didn't get to play against Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on Monday Night Football in the preseason, but can't cry over spilt milk. I trust Josh Connerly more in week one because I think he is going to get more help schematically. Here's what I mean by that. Cliff Kingsbury, brother man, I love you. First team all aura. Laramie Tunsil, I love you, brother. Good dude. Got a chance to chop it up with him a couple days after practice. Good dude. I'm telling Laramie straight up. I may have told him Monday during the walkthrough. Come here, big fella. Come take a knee. You're not getting a lick of help on Sunday. We're not leaving a tight end in. We're not chipping with the back. We're not chipping with the wide receiver. Go show why you are the best tackle in the National Football League. Go show it. And I think he will. I think he'll pass that test with flying colors. On the flip side, for Josh Connerly Jr., I'm leaving a back end at times. I'm leaving a tight end in at times. I'm chipping with the wide out. You do not put your rookie tackle on an island in week one for 60 or 70 snaps against Thibodeau, Burns, and Abdul Carter. You just don't do that. You help him out. Now, how much help is he going to ultimately need? I'd overhelp him instead. I'd rather overhelp Josh Connerly, right, than underhelp Josh Connerly. And just because you need help don't mean it ain't no slight to you. You're going up against all pros in a dude that's probably the front runner for defensive rookie of the year. Ain't no shame in that at all is the best way that I will put that. Ain't no shame in that at all. But the reality of the situation is this when it comes to Sunday, talking Amos versus Connerly. Trey Amos is going to be, if I was Washington, and I know there's no chance in hell that they do this, but if I was Washington, I'd travel Trey Amos with Malik Nabers. I think he's that good. I genuinely believe that. In my heart of hearts, I believe that. Now, obviously, you had to massage some egos with Marshawn Lattimore, Southie Sean, as I like to call him, and Mikey Samuels still, because they don't want to travel with the number one. It's an dog-eat-dog world. They want to bite. But all training camp long, Trey Amos was at the left corner. Lattimore was at the right corner. I think Trey Amos probably ain't going to get a whole lot of help. He's going to have to go up against Malik Nabers a lot. Tough task. Because schematically, you can't really help him. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show. We find out about Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show, which you can hear weekdays 1 to 4 on the Team 980. He joins us next.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan. But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Unfortunately, there's only one egotistical maniac that has to come into his own branded theme music. It is the man they call Christopher Russell, the host of the Chris Russell Show, weekdays 1 to 4, over on our sister station, the Team 980. How are you, Chris? Are you you getting a sweat in, pal?
Yeah, I was highly entertained at the gym listening to your new T-shirt slogan, you know, wondering if I had to wrap that baby on the front of the chest under your belly button and then wrap it around the back above the numbers, below the numbers. I was just wondering, how many words are we going to use on this year's T-shirt slogan? I just want to know.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't like to give away state secrets here on the program. But if we have to do a little radio insider, you pick up what I was putting down, right? And I think me and you were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I thought, damn, what a hell of a thought from that caged animal, Chris Russell. the way that they treated the preseason, the way that they look like they're about to treat the month of September, you got to be able to deal with the consequences of treating September like August, and I think by and large they will be able to because of the quarterback, but it isn't going to be sexy. I don't expect them to earn a lot of style points, but as we talked about earlier, if you come out of September no worse than 2-2, I think you'll live with it and you're ready to go.
Yeah, right there with you, obviously. And you're right. We did have this discussion earlier before your show while I was sitting in traffic. So this feels like, you know, repeat, but nobody else besides us were listening. But the point being is, listen, if you come out 2-2, like you said, you know, short week, Green Bay, tough game this Sunday to open up the year, even though it's at home, even though the Giants only won 3 games last year. Don't believe the hype. It's a tough game. I'm not saying that they won't win. It's a tough game. And then home for the Raiders with a little extra time to prepare, rest, what have you. So, okay, that should be. But then a tough road game in Atlanta, who I expect to be improved. We already know how dangerous they can be on offense with some of the skill makers or skill players. Well, Penix should be better than the last time we saw him in late December. 1-2, I know their pass rush should be better. So if you get out of this first month 2-2, if you play again September like you normally would treat August, and you know, look, Bill Belichick used to do this in New England when Tom Brady got up there in age, right? Tom Brady would occasionally play in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he would play more than occasionally because he felt he needed the work. I remember one time there was like 43 throws in a preseason game for Tom freaking Brady, right? But Bill Belichick would always tell people around the league, and it got back to me from a close friend of his, that he viewed September as the old August. Mm-hmm. And I asked, what do you mean by that? And he said, well, here's the deal. And then it was a 16-game season. He goes, you break down the season in quarters, right? And the first 3 or 4 games you treat essentially as what the preseason used to be, which was at that point 4 games in August. And you play your guys, and you play them more than you do in August, but you don't run through a brick wall trying to burn yourself out to get off to that hot start. Get off to a 2-2 start. Even if you're 1-3, if you've got a championship pedigree, you can recover.
Honestly. And I feel like, to me, when you have, one, the expectations that this team has, and then, two, the oldest roster in the NFL, I actually think it makes sense the way that they treated camp, preseason, etc. I do feel like the lack of work against another team is going to influence the way that you start. What I mean by that is that Ravens joint practice that got canceled kind of swept over it. It felt like a nothing burger because we were so submerged in the Terry McLaurin stuff. That's a big deal to me, because think about last year. It took this group It took this group the better part of six quarters to really find their footing. The first game against Tampa, all three phases were yucky, right? Missed tackles on defense, not good kick coverage. Offensively, you were stuck in the mud, banana in the tailpipe for most of it. And then that first half against New York, you struggled offensively. Tyrone Tracy was getting 4 and 5 yards a pop. But then in that second half, it felt like everything came together. And then obviously week three against Cincy was the coming out party. Here's the thing that I keep saying as well, Chris, is why, in terms of why it's so important for this group to get off to a good start. And look, I've been saying it throughout the show if you've been listening. I think they're going to get off to a slow start, but that doesn't mean that they're going to get off to a slow start in the win column. I just don't think we're going to be overly thrilled with how they look, and that's okay because of the reasons we just mentioned. But there is no Tennessee. There is no New Orleans. There is no Cleveland. Mm-hmm. There is no Carolina on the schedule. You have to get the Giants on Sunday. And look, we know there's no such thing as a must win in week one, but boy, does it feel like you suck some of the air out of the balloon if you get off to an 0-1 start.
Well, because, you know, if you look and if you lose Sunday, I mean, the likelihood that you're going to win in Green Bay on a short week against a much better team that's now added Micah Parsons and already was a playoff team and therefore a playoff or championship contender coming in before Micah Parsons on the road at Lambeau Thursday night, short week, all the travel, this, that, and the other thing. The likelihood that you win that game is not very likely, right? Not impossible, but not very likely. So you might be looking at an 0-2 start. Now, you said, you know, why it's so important to get off to a fast start. I think fast start, again, how we define it is 1-0, right? Like, if anybody's expecting 2-0, you're expecting the wrong thing. If you get 2-0, that's great. That's awesome. Expect 1-1, and hopefully they can, you know, play reasonably well so there isn't a lot of alarm, so that there isn't a lot of concern, that there isn't a lot to fix. There's just fine-tuning to fix. And one of the areas that I'm concerned about right away on Sunday, I think one of your callers mentioned it, but I've mentioned it on my show a couple of times this week already, is special teams. I'm worried about Matt Gay. He's been inconsistent in camp. He's been inconsistent in the preseason games. We know he struggled from distance last year and in his time in Indianapolis, right? I don't expect him to make a 60-yard kick, but I need you to make a 50-yard kick. I need you to make all 35-yard kicks. I need you to make 42-yard kicks. I need you to be as reasonably close to perfect as you can. One thing I know that bugged you during the preseason, short kickoffs, right? And obviously we have, you know, part of that is by design under the new rules to get guys or to get, because you, they're trying to encourage returns, right? So you're trying to almost pooch or direct it or angle it or what have you. Well, some of that led to poor coverage, which led to the 100-yard Travion Henderson return, the 62-yard Antonio Gibson return. There was another return that bugged me. I can't remember if Cincinnati and Baltimore, whatever the case might be. My point is, please don't lose Sunday's game. However you lose it, if you lose it, don't lose it on special teams, because that will bother me more than it will bother probably most people, because I know that is controllable and I know that is fixable. And I know that's also kind of a worry spot for this administration, because otherwise they wouldn't have gone out and gotten Matt Gay. And if that comes back and blows up in their face, then what do you do at that point? You've tried everything and you still haven't found the answer.
I think that is well put. They have left no stone unturned in terms of trying to find, you know, this team's long-term place kicker.
Yeah.
I think the bigger reason, to use a Dan Quinn phrase, Russell, excuse my French, it's after 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. The thing that will chap Dan Quinn's ass is if they do not cover kicks well. That, because it was such a prideful thing for them last year, and remember we talked to Jeremy Chin about this, the fact that we had starters playing on that opening kickoff unit, it sets the tone when you come out. Look, I was saying it earlier, Chris, it takes a special type of crazy to get juiced up, to run down the field 100 miles an hour just to run into somebody and set the tone. Like, they had one of the best kick coverage units in the NFL last year. I think they led the NFL in terms of, you know, kickoffs that were fielded, and that was on purpose. And if that all of a sudden goes from being a strength and something that really propels them to a problem spot, I think it could have a trickle-down effect on the defense too.
No, no doubt. No doubt, because it puts the defense in worse field position, right. Obviously. Now, again, you got to be careful, right? Because you can't just pooch it into the end zone. You can't, because a touchback is going to cost you. What? The touchback is, help me out here, 35, right? If I'm not mistaken, under the new rules, I think it's 35. Is that right? Or maybe it's a 30. I can't remember. Yeah. They've changed the rules so many damn times. Whatever it is, you don't want to put a defense that already has some question marks about whether it can stop the run in a disadvantaged position based on where a team starts its possession. So, yes, that is all tied together. I hope it will get better now that everybody is playing. Remember, when it was a problem in August, mm-hmm. not everybody was playing. So you have, you know, a trickle down effect. So I'm hoping that it is a lot better than what we saw in August. And, you know, again, Matt Gay cannot miss extra points. He cannot miss, you know, easy or relatively easy to make field goal attempts, so on and so forth. Now, we talked a lot about special teams. Now, I mentioned this to you earlier, and mm-hmm. and I, you know, you've been talking about run defense for the last year and a half, right? You were absolutely right. You were absolutely right. They couldn't set an edge. They couldn't stop the run. They give up 6-7 yards on first down. You know, if they're going to get off to a good start and stop the run and be better at stopping the run, this is the game you got to do it. Because yes. No disrespect to Tyron Tracy. I mean, I know he averaged 4.4 a carry, but he's not an explosive, dynamic right. back. That, oh, by the way, you're going to start to see, maybe not exactly in week two, but you're going to see a workhorse in Jacobs, granted, on a short week, so you're going to see a little bit that, and then you're going to see Ashton Jeanty and Bijan Robinson back-to-back weeks. You better stop the run this week, and you better force Russell Wilson and that giant offensive line into 2nd-and-9, 3rd-and-8.
Dude,
that type of thing. You better stop the run against this giant team.
If you can't, it's going to be a long afternoon, man.
Yeah.
First and second down is going to determine how this football game goes. You mentioned Tyron Tracy. I also, Chris, you smelled that. You're our Giants insider too, so I know you're probably already privy to what I'm about to say, my friend.
Yes.
They've had a certain college star, Chris Russell, mm-hmm. in bubble wrap all training camp. Now, I've done some digging into it.
Yeah.
Dude, mm-hmm. that's the other guy that's like, all right, now, because look, Tracy could be the guy in that first half that gets you and annoys you with his 3-yard carry that gets you in the, you know, 3rd-and-4 instead of, you know, 3rd-and-7. But it's Scataboo in the second half to me in a game in which, you know, you're probably going to be sucking a little bit of wind because a lot of these guys mm-hmm. just haven't played a lot. That's what I worry about. Is Cam Scataboo going to turn it back?
I didn't mention that with you, but I did mention that, you know, earlier today, and I'm with you, and maybe I should give him even more credit than I'm giving him. But you're right, that one. And I'm not saying by any means that it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
I'm saying you better do it this week, or you're not going to do it for a month. Because it's hard to see them bottling up and shutting down Jacobs, Ashton Jeanty, and Bijan Robinson in back-to-back-to-back weeks. However you want to do it, it's just hard to see, right? So to me, again, for week one, I really want to see and think about it, right? They've been carrying around this anvil, this piano, if you will, on the back all off season. The coaches know it. GM Adam Peters knows it. The new defensive line guys know it. Jerron Payne knows it. Dorrance Armstrong, I almost called him Trace Armstrong, former defensive end and former agent. But you get my point, is they all know it, right? And if you start getting bludgeoned 5-6 yards on first down regularly on Sunday to Tracy and or Scataboo, that's not a good sign, obviously, because that means that, hey, you've changed things, but you haven't changed the result.
You can
change things in this league, but if you don't change the result, what did you change?
Point blank. Can we put you on the spot here as we politely say goodbye here so I don't blow the clock out?
Yes.
Your prediction for Sunday, Chris Russell?
Well,
you know what? In 45 seconds or less, too, pal.
All right. Okay. So here's the deal. Here's the deal. Because I'm a Giant insider, as you know, an industry plant, mm-hmm. I'm going to pick the Giants to cover the 6.5.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the Commanders to win by a field goal.
Ooh.
I'm going to say, I'll call it 20-17. Because I, like you, think the offense is going to be out of timing, out of rhythm a little bit. But I think defensively, they will show up on Sunday and create a big takeaway and a big spot against Russell Wilson or a fumble. Tyron Tracy had 5 fumbles last year, lost 2. So that's something to look out for. I think they'll show up just enough, win a tight one, Giants cover, Washington wins, and everybody can breathe for a couple of days.
There we have it. No style points in Chris Russell's prediction, but that's okay. You can check him out weekdays 1 to 4 on our sister station, the Team 980. Chris, we appreciate you as always.
My guy. Now. See ya.
That is the Rooster. Make sure you check out the Chris Russell podcast wherever you download your podcast as well to give our guy a listen. We'll take a quick time out. When we come back, we have talked a lot about expectations this offseason and what folks are expecting from these Commanders. We'll take a look at some power rankings ahead of week one next. This is The Fan.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. Because I am a thoroughbred, the way that I call the Commanders a thoroughbred, I am going to get to my guy Elijah in D.C. right off of the rip here. Elijah, what's going on, brother? What's happening, Elijah? How you doing, brother?
Yo, Linnell, what's up, bro?
I'm just calling
and because I just want to, you know, hopefully calm the waters for certain people in the fan base who just don't know who's on their line. if you remember in college, Mayman Connolly, on 35 pass blocking attempts, he gave up like 0 pressure.
Talk about it.
Against Abdul Carter. Now, I've just been just kind of researching on my own. Now, you talking about having a center who can set a line, because everybody's saying the offense may be coming out slow. I'm like, wait a second here. You talk about having a center who can set your line how you need with better bodies in there. Also, Michael Parsons already said, man, Thompson's a dog.
Yes.
And ballers know ballers. So I just feel like we're not putting enough respect on the offensive line. Don't get me wrong. We haven't had an opportunity to really see them enough to dawn.
And that's the whole thing right there. I get what you're saying. On paper,
you know what I'm saying?
They badass on paper. And to use the word concerned, Elijah, would be too strong, but help me out if you can here. My eyebrow is raised, is what I would say, because I don't know if they have enough time on task together.
Yeah.
To go up against this front. That's all I'm saying. Not that they're going to get blown out of the water. Not that they're going to get completely overmanned. I think there's too much talent for that, like you're alluding to. But because it is week one and because this team is treated, you know, August like it doesn't matter necessarily, you know, so to speak, I wonder if, you know, they'll have to face some consequences for that.
Yeah, so I'm just curious to see. I'm really concerned more, or where I'm looking at is the guard play. If the tackles are able to isolate and say, from our athleticism and our athletic quarterback, we're not going to be as stressed out as an average line. If my man Coleman going in that guard, and if we can get solid inside play to stay strong, because if guys have problems on the inside with Dexter and some other situations, then we can now the pressure can start coming from other ways. So we're gonna have to pick. If we could be strong and pick our poison, we gotta have something.
Hey, look, I'll tell you this about Big BC, Elijah. Slim is he's a military brat. We need a bunch of dudes with that mentality. I appreciate you as always, Elijah. Enjoy the rest of your night, brother. I'm glad Elijah brought up BC. BC, I'm referring to Brandon Coleman. He is first team all badass. And he's quiet, mild-mannered young man. He's the nicest dude in the world, bro. Like, honestly, like. Even dating back to when he was drafted, me and Chris Russell had him on the program like less than a week after. Just one, a sense of gratitude just to be in the spot And then I mentioned he's a military brat. This is a kid that's lived in Germany. This is a kid that's moved all across the globe. He didn't even really start playing football until high school, y'all. BC wanted to be a hooper. So kicking him inside the guard with that raw brute strength and the athleticism that he has, boy, he just got to stay healthy. If he can stay healthy, Brandon Coleman's got a chance to be a total all-pro, Pro Bowl type of guard, man, early on in his career, because I think he's that legit. Final hour of power coming your way next right here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. But take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to switch gears totally. Massive, massive story going on in the NBA with the Clippers allegedly bypassing the salary cap, circumventing the salary cap by paying $28 million to Kawhi Leonard for a, quote, no-show job. The lead writer for The Athletic covering the Clippers is going to join us next to give us the latest on this blockbuster news out of the NBA. That's next.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.